Parshas Vayeshev, Avishai David. At the end of Parshas Vayeshev, after Yosef interprets the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, the following language is recorded in the Torah. The Torah says, Kim zechartani itcho kasha yitav loch. Yosef requested of the Sar HaMashkim, if you perhaps do me a favor and remember me. Do me a great favor. Viskartani el Paro. Mention to Paro that which I did. Take me out of this dungeon. I was essentially stolen, abducted from the Eretz HaIvrim. The Gampolo Sisi Muuma. Here also I accomplished nothing. They put me in a dungeon. Yosef did a massive chesed with the Sar HaMashkim. When he was able to placate him and appease him and interpret his dream in a affirmative kind of way that he has a future, a light at the end of the tunnel, and now he asks for a simple request that the Sar HaMashkim should simply intervene on his behalf, since he has the audience of the king, in order that he should be able to be released from incarceration. When one thinks about this request, it seems to be quite plausible, quite logical, quite rational, a request that was presented in a very beautiful, respectful kind of way, and yet despite the fact that the interpretation that Yosef proferred to the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, that was realized down to the last detail, all the minutia. And yet what happened regarding Yosef's request? Tragically and unfortunately, the Sar HaMashkim did not remember Yosef. And the Torah says, not only did he not remember him, he forgot him. Almost a double language the Torah employs. And apparently, there was a decree in Hashamayim, a heavenly decree that Yosef would suffer for another 2 years, as the Torah, in the beginning of next week's Parsha, testifies, Vayimi Kech, Nasayim Yomim, at the end of 2 years. The question, of course, is, why did Yosef receive an extension, a two-year extension, of his imprisonment sentence? So Rashi answers at the end of Parsha Vayeshev. The language of Rashi is the following. V'lo zocha Sar HaMashkim bo bayom, the very same day that Yosef made the request that he should remember him, vayishkocheyu la'acha mikan. Rashi takes the pasuk and divides it into two. V'lo zocha the Sar HaMashkim did not remember Yosef that very self same day. Vayishkocheyu, he forgot him, la'acha mikan, over an extended period of time. And Rashi provides a rationale why that's so. Why was Yosef subjected to 2 more years of a prison sentence? Rashi answers, Neshetolabo Yosef Lizochro, since Yosef decided to go ahead and ask the Sar HaMashkim for a favor, ask him to remember him before Paro, Huska Glios Osu Shteshonim, he was compelled to be sentenced for another 2 years in prison, Shenemar. Rashi quotes a pasuk, Ashri agever asher sam Hashem mivtacho, happy is the person who places his bitachon in Hashem, v'lo pano el rahavim, and doesn't turn to individuals who are known for their arrogance, pride. V'lo batach al mitzrayim hakruyim rav, the Egyptians are known for this kind of hubris. Gaiva. So Rashi is basing his explanation on the Medrash. The Medrash comments on this pasuk the following. Ashri agever asher sam Hashem mivtacho. Happy is the person who places his bitachon in Hashem. Zeh Yosef. That's Yosef HaTzadik, the Baal bitachon. V'lo pano el rahavim. You don't turn to these individuals who are wallowing in pride and gaiva. Zeh Yosef, Ayidei she'omar zchartani v'zchartani nitosi lo shteshonim. Because Yosef used this double language, Zchartani Vehiskartani. Two more years were added to his sentence. That's the end of the Medrash. And essentially, the Medrash is indicting Yosef for a lack of bitachon. And because of that, he was punished and remained incarcerated for another 2 years. But at first glance, prima facie, the Medrash seems to be self-contradictory. In the beginning, the Medrash indicates that Yosef is someone, Ashesom Hashem Miftacho. He is a model, an exemplar for someone who's a Baal Bitacho. And then subsequently, the Medrash indicates, by virtue of the fact that he said Schartani, Vizkartani, that's called Poner El Behovim, turning to people who are arrogant. And Yosef is taken to task for a lack of bitachon in the Bar Yova. How does one resolve the conflicting desideratum inside the Medrash itself? There are many approaches among the Gedolei Yisrael, but we'll share two approaches. One is that of the Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon. The Chazon Ish comments that everyone is obligated to do some form of Ishtadlus. B'derech HaTeva, we know that the Sifrei, the Medrash and Dvarim comments on the Pasuk, Uveiracho Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher taseh. Hashem will give you a bracha based on your actions. The Medrash asks, Yochol Yeyeshi Bato, person might want and sit and simply not be active and be totally passive and think he's going to be the recipient of the largest of Hashem Yisbarach. Tamulome b'chol asher taseh. That a person has to do. One has to engage in some form of ishtadlus. And we know that the Rambam writes in Pirsha Mishnayis in Psochim, the Rambam mentions that there were those who contended that even someone who's ill should not approach a doctor in order to be healed, because ultimately every illness comes from Hashem, and that clearly is the Ratzon Hashem. And then the Hishtadlus, even regarding Refuah, would undermine, would negate that Ratzon Hashem. The will of Hashem is Barach. And the Rambam, of course, takes that person to task, or takes that position, and clearly, completely repudiates it. And we know that Tesis writes in Baba Kama, that Pehei, and Chazal Darsh in the Pasuk, Virapo Yerape, Mikan Shenitna Rishus Lerofi Lerapos, and Rishonim HaMachalek, some of them distinguish between Choli Ababi De Odom, Choli Ababi De Shamayim. But whatever the case is, the Rambam indicates that going to a doctor is certainly within the frame of reference of proper hishtadlus, and there's no distinction between a person who seeks out medical advice, therapies, medicaments, and the like, than an individual who is starving. And obviously, someone who's starving, he should eat in order to satisfy his situation, which requires basic nutrients and the like. This is discussed by the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bechukos Kosai. But coming back now to the Chazon Ish, Chazon Ish explains the steer in the Medrash along the following lines. When Yosef turned to the Sarah Mashkim, that was a kind of ishtadlus, and it seems to be, as I mentioned, a ishtadlus that seems to be logical, well-grounded, well-founded, certainly permissible in general, but apparently, all that is true regarding the general public. However, Yosef, what did he do? He turned to Rehovim. He turned to Baligaiva, people who have Malei Shachtzanut, people who have an overweening sense of themselves, are essentially self-inflated. When one turns to Baligaiva, that apparently is out of the realm of ishtadlus. That's considered to be a pagam. That's inappropriate. Just as we see in the Medrash, Chazal explained when the Sarah Mashkin came to Paro, and he was thinking, the Sarah Mashkin, that if Paro were going to die, and there will be another king, who knows if he'll be restored to his former Mama, to his former situation, to serving the king in that aristocratic kind of ambience and surroundings. And therefore, maybe it's not kedai to mention Yosef in order not to in any way threaten, put my situation in peril. And as essentially his thinking was egotistical for his own self-advancement. He had no interest in Yosef whatsoever. When he would present what Yosef interpreted in terms of his dream, and as a matter of fact, we know the way the Torah describes the Sar Mashkim's description of Yosef. V'shom itonu, with us, he tells Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Nar, Ivri, Eve, the Sar Tabochim, a lowly kind of persona. So to this Balchev, to become a Balchev, to this individual, that, says the Chazon Ish, is absolutely interdicted. Not permissible. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Hevei Zehirin B'Rishus, one should be careful when one approaches governmental figures, politicians, and the like. Shei Mekarvel Lo Adam El Tzarech Atzmon. They have only self-interest in mind, their own self-advancement. Nirin Ki Avim B'Shas Hanason, they appear to be those who have a liking, and they want to advance the cause of the community, but they know no other mishas dachko. When a person is really in a difficult situation, they're not there. So, in the alma de shikra that we live in the world of sheker, with politics and politicians, which to a large extent is the art of sheker, most of them, many of them are rehovim, thank God, here and there are a few honest politicians who are sincerely and authentically interested in promoting the interests of the klal, but unfortunately many are not, so we understand this yisod. The interest of politicians often is for their own self-interest, and they're not really concerned about the welfare of others. So the Chazon Ish says, hishtadlus with such individuals is a pgam. That is something which is absolutely not within the frame of reference of the proper hishtadlus. And that's what the Chazon Ish does to resolve the stira in the Medrash, containing that Yosef was a Baal Bitochon Mufla. He was the model Baal Bitochon. And certainly there's no question that you have the right, even someone at that level, to have recourse to hishtadlus. However, not if the hishtadlus is with Rehovim, people who are Bali Gaiva, people who are completely and totally self-centered, and the like. And that was the issue, that essentially Yosef, because of that, received an extension of his sentence in prison for 2 years. The Netziv, in his Perish al Torah, in Parshas Vayishlach, in the Archeib Dover, this is in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Rabav, in the Haimik Dover, he focuses on the first part of the Medrash. Ashri Agemesh Yosom Hashem Yiptacho. So the Medrash says that refers to Yosef. Says the Netziv, Yosef is the paradigm, the dogma, par excellence of the Baal Bitochon who achieved the highest levels. Someone of that Madrega, Ribbon Hashem is medactic with him, Kichut Asara. Writes the Netziv, Vizel Klal Godol, if someone is accustomed to a certain midah, to a certain mahalach, nasel of keneder, that mahalach becomes a neder. And he quotes Aran in the Dorim, in the 10th Perek, if a person violates or is not acting in sync with his particular madrega, he's going to be punished. He refers you to a Rivan at the end of Maseches Makos. The Netziv actually is alluding to a Gemara at the end of Makos that speaks about the fact that there are Tayag Mitzvos, and the Nevi'im, Yeshayo and others, came and tried to more or less reduce or create an easier kind of model, which would be a precis of the 613 Mitzvos. So Yeshayahu came, He reduced it all to six principles. And one of them is Otim Ozna Mishmoa. Someone should not listen to Chas V'Shalom, should not be willing to accept when the Talmud Chacham is impugned, the Talmud Chacham is insulted, and someone does not react, does not respond, does not moche, doesn't protest at the indignity that the Talmud Chacham is subjected to. That's something that's clearly not acceptable. In other words, if there's a pegiah in the Talmud Chacham, there's an obligation to respond in a very affirmative kind of way. The example the Gemara actually gives is Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. The Gemara says in Bamitzia that Pedalid, when he passed away, he wasn't buried right away. And his wife, after a period of time, she saw a worm emerging from his earlobes. And she thought that at that point his body began to decompose. And subsequently he appeared to her in a dream and told her that this was an onesh, because once there was a Talmud Chacham who was subjected to zilzul, who was insulted, humiliated, and he did not protest as he should have. So she shouldn't become at all concerned. There should be no consternation by the fact that a worm was coming out of his earlobe. In other words, the Gemara, in effect, is asking that perhaps Rav Shimon was not sufficiently medakdek in this particular midah of responding to a zilzul, a bizoyin of a Talmud Chacham. That was a midah that he excelled in. And because of that excellence in that midah, he's being punished. Otherwise, clearly, we're talking about a tzaddik yisod olam, someone who's incredibly righteous. Says the Netziv, from here we see that in his life he was very medakdek on this particular deportment. That's why Hashem was makbid. And the Gemara, the Netziv, cites another example of this concept. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei. Someone is accustomed to coming to shul on a daily basis, and once he doesn't come, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, mashil olav. He asks, where is he? And if he went for a dvar mitzvah, of course he's fine. Otherwise, it's not a good thing. Says the Netziv, why does the Gemara introduce this? Because he's rogel b'mida tovazu. He is accustomed to this mida of going to shul on an ongoing basis, never missing. And if he misses for a reason that's not well grounded, he's going to be taken to task. So apparently, according to the Netziv, it emerges, pshat medrash, that Yosef was nitva. Yosef is under scrutiny because of his hitztainus, because of his incredible precision with reference to the midah b'tochem Hashem. Ashrei hagever she'asom Hashem yiftacho, that's Yosef. He's the paradigmatic model, the exemplar of b'tochem. So on one occasion, even though it was one occasion, he turned to Rehovim, namely the Sar HaMashkim, and asked him to intercede on his behalf. That's a pgam. That's a flaw regarding the madrega that he reached, and therefore he's going to be punished. Yosef reached such a high level of bitachon, even a simple bakasha is something which is inappropriate for someone of his stature. And here, of course, one could derive a tremendous Musa Haskel, a person who develops and nurtures, and all of us should nurture all kinds of wonderful hanhogas in many, many areas, whether it's in Hasmada, Limud HaTorah, or any other area for that matter, whether it's Bidam Nachavero, Bidam Namokom. Certainly regarding Bittul Torah, a person who is a shakdan, a masmid, so no doubt he's going to be taken to task for that Bittul Torah if there's no basis for it. And any other kind of anhoga, of deportment of a good nature, or any other midah that a person excels in. Someone who's a Baal Chesed, someone who's Makvan Atfila B'tzibur, someone who's Oisik B'tzorah Chesir B'amuna. If Chas V'Shalom he's Nichshal, so there will be a Tvi against him. And this is sort of the Netziv is relevant to any anhoga that a person develops and cultivates, that one has to be exceptionally careful to maintain that anhoga ad hasof. So both of these approaches of the Chazon Ish and the Netziv are relevant in every tkufa, in every epoch, in every era, and in our generation as well. Jews, unfortunately and tragically, in the course of millennia, were pursued by anti-Semites and, of course, attempted to try to avoid any kind of skirmish with them and to try to use all types of shtadlanut, whether we turn to other nations or other individuals to help us, and sometimes even to Rehavim, people who are Bali Gaiva. And the Tanakh speaks a lot about this, Mitzrayim, Ashur, Babel, who are Molei V'Godush Gaiva and Shachzanut. They often became the individuals that we turn to. And when finally Yosef recognized that the only one to turn to is Hashem Yisbarach, when Yosef became the viceroy, the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, appointed by Paro to that lofty position, Yosef before that said, Biladai Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro. And Chazal say, the Medrash Tola Gdula Bibalov, he realized that Hashlech al Hashem Yehovecha V'Yichal Kolecha. Everything depends ultimately on Hashem Yisbarach. And this we see from the Ramban in Vayechi as well. We are before Chanukah now. The Chashmonaim were matzliach with their incredible gevura. They achieved incredible victories, but only when they were toleh their hatzlacha in the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's a very significant, maybe the most important yisod of our hashkafa. We stress it in our tefillah, Ashrei HaGever, Asher Yivtach B'Hashem. So of course we have to have bitachon that ultimately Hashem Yisbarach is the one who's directing traffic. He's the grand maestro. He's the GPS, the navigator. At the same time, of course, we have to do whatever hishtadlus is necessary depending on our level of bitachon. But ultimately, the hatzlacha comes from our being dependent on Hashem Yisbarach. And in the modern era, nothing has changed. Here also today, turning to other nations and other forces and other powers, international and the like. Generally speaking, at the end of the day, will perhaps assist us somewhat, but ultimately, bitchu b'Hashem adiyad. We have to cultivate hanhogos tovos, as the Netziv commented, a kind of neder. And certainly, even though one might argue, okay, why would I want to cultivate hanhogos tovos if it's going to cause me, ultimately, when I don't carry it out, more punishment and more peril. I'll put myself into a perilous situation. No, on the contrary, that strengthens the ruchnius metal of the individual, elevates him to a much higher level, and that higher level, even though there's an element of sakona, if he doesn't carry it out, will also elevate him to a higher level of ruchnius, a connection to Hashem Yisbarach. The Ramban in Vayechi calls the Chashmonaim Chasidei Elyon. A chassid by definition means someone who goes with them Mishur HaSadin. All of us, individually, collectively, have to realize and recognize where we are, whom we are, and at the same time try to cultivate wonderful midos, wonderful hanhogos, being medactic in them. Don't become lazy. Don't become indolent or idle. Carry them out. Of course, we should be realistic about what our goals are, but we should constantly move up. Or a chayim lamala has to be on an upward kind of trajectory. And if we do so, Ribono Shel Olam will see it, and unquestionably will be zoche to be ala nisim, be ala purkan, be ala gvurol, be ala chul, be ala chamos, shasisul avasinim bayam ma'aim, that the same hanhoga of Hashem Yisbarach will also exist bizman hazeh. Halavai, we should be zoche to that level. Amen. Ken yehi ratzon. Amen v'yamen.